Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with California jazz saxophonist Jordan Farren. He opened up about his brand new debut CD. It's the 2022 album Tales of Transcendence. So he encapsulates years spent traveling the globe, taking listeners on a round-the-world trip infused with jazz, groove, and rocking beats. This deeply personal record is a testament to some of his most memorable travel experiences, with stories born out of the creative impulses stoked, kindled, and kept roaring by life on the road, or more accurately, the deck of a ship. We cover some great ground in this interview. Enjoy the tales.
Well, hey, thanks for taking a minute out. So you're in the sunshine. Where are you at exactly right now?
I'm in Long Beach, California.
Oh my God.
It's the port city for Los Angeles, yep.
Oh, man. Every Steven Spielberg dream hatched in a Midwestern brain is said in that one sentence. Man alive.
So, there you go.
Well, hey, so again, thanks for taking a minute out. And I want to start off with Tales of Transcendence. And, you know, as we've covered, we're in the middle of a pandemic and it's undelayed,
right,
and hopefully things get better. But the timing of this, how does it feel to have this come out right now?
There's two big factors for that, just kind of motivations. One of them is more of a factor, and it's like, I understand, like, releasing a record at this time of still the uncertainty of it all. It's a bit risky, right, just from a kind of just economical or just, like, exposure perspective. Like, oh, you know, how am I going to tour this if things start, like, you know, like getting back to the red, right? But also, I mean, I've wanted to record this music for years. The other factor is that I just wanted to give this to the world right now in order to get people to not only have that experience of the world meets music, this story meets music kind of experience, but also to just give that hope that things will get back to some semblance of normalcy, that people will be able to move around freely and expand their minds again through travel and through music, live or just in, you know, in your room on the headphones or on your speakers, that kind of a thing, you know?
Thanks. You know, during this time, yeah, you bet. And, you know, during this time, there's been, during quarantine and lockdown, there's been a lot of time of self-reflection. What did you learn about yourself that maybe you didn't realize before that's going to make you a stronger organism as you get out and promote this album and start playing live music more?
Yeah, that's a profound question. It was interesting. Weirdly enough, my friends around the world will know this as well. I was actually in London when the pandemic started. I was going to school out there and working out there. So it was quite a shock to the system, because here I was just completely isolated, not just literally, but like also from like my family thousands and thousands of miles away here in Southern California. It was actually a positive time to not just reflect on what I was doing and why I was doing it, but to really have that time to really get this music solid, first of all, just written out and everything, so that I could prepare to rehearse it and record it a second time. But secondly, to just look inward to all of my flaws and strengths and really come to terms with those things from a point of just honesty and authenticity, right? I think, like, recording this album just made all of that honesty and authenticity stronger in me. And not only that, it was also just, again, the motivation to really give to the world in this time of just uncertainty and stuff like that.
And, you know, I guess my next question before we depart the album is, what are you hoping the listener gets from this album?
You know, musically speaking, it's definitely a conglomeration of styles. As much as I love the jazz tradition and I've come to, like, really revere digging into the tradition of it, I'm also of the mindset of the fact that jazz has this amazing ability to integrate and connect to other musical styles with the boundless creativity it has through improvisation and collective improvisation, that kind of a thing. And so because of that, and because of the fact that my musical tastes are very broad, I just had to run with it, right? It's also the world affected me for the rest of my life the world has left its imprint on me. I traveled the entire world working as a cruise ship musician. The experiences that I came out, that I came back with were just beyond belief. And so the actual album itself, Tales of Transcendence, is my attempt to describe the most powerful transcendental experiences that I've had throughout the world. And I wanted to do that both with music and with stories. I've got literal stories about each piece of music that are going to be available in the form of the liner notes. And I'm also releasing a full travel blog detailing the full stories behind each piece of music. My thing was just like, you know, music connects people and stories connect people. And I want to connect in the best way possible to try to describe these experiences, this like that were like the highest form of human experience, you know, for me. So it's like, it's not just about the music. It's not just about the stories and the travelings. It's both. It's everything. And beyond that, it's my attempt to give people the potential to see within themselves the potential to connect to themselves infinitely and to their lived experience infinitely. Okay. That's my ultimate goal.
I dig it, yeah. Man. So let's go back to the beginnings of your life. Are you originally from California?
Yep, born and raised in Orange County, yeah.
Well, so talk about your childhood and kind of how the jaws of jazz got you and early influences, that kind of thing.
The jaws of jazz, I love that.
Nice.
You know, I had a very loving, powerful role models for parents. My mom is an absolute superhero, and so is my dad. They worked their absolute butts off to provide for my brother and I. I grew up in a very loving household and a very loving big family on both sides. And it was actually my grandpa who took a huge interest in my big interest in the saxophone. My brother was also interested in that, and so like my grandpa actually ended up teaching my brother and I for a few years, come over every week and give us private lessons, and it was amazing. And my interest in the saxophone started with classic rock, like, you know, Bad to the Bone, the Rolling Stones, Pink Floyd, Money, you know, like all those sounds I was hearing my folks play, because they grew up on all that, and I grew up on all that, Led Zeppelin, Stones, Pink Floyd. And I was just like, man, what is that instrument? I want to play that. That sounds so cool. So it was definitely like the rock saxophone that I was listening to first. But then as I started to go through school and through junior high and into high school, I remember distinctly there's this one guy, I think his name was Napoleon. I'm pretty sure his name was Napoleon, but he was a senior at the local high school, and he was a killer alto sax player. I remember hearing the high school jazz band and being like, I this is amazing. You know, I want to sound like this. Because of course the closest thing to commercial music was kind of the jazz programs at the local high school. But like I started to slowly really enjoy not just being in those environments, but like really started to enjoy listening to jazz. Like Sonny Rollins and John Coltrane were my first experiences listening to jazz. And I kid you not, my mom actually bought me Giant Steps, the album. And Giant Steps is the first tune that I was listening to in the jazz tradition, not knowing that like Giant Steps is one of the most difficult like tunes out there to try and master. So,
what about your first live show that blew you away jazz wise? What was that?
The first live show. Gosh, my mom took a huge interest in my musical ability. I was a big fish in a small pond for sure. Especially when I got to high school, I was definitely, you know, kind of like learning a lot quicker than a lot of the kids. But she was definitely trying to like goad me into like the local jazz scene. And so I remember her taking me to a number of different things, the radio station KLON. This was the 90s, so it's now K-Jazz, but they would host a handful of events throughout the year. So I remember going to events like that. I remember her taking me to the Segerstrom Center for the Arts to see Diana Krall perform and give a talk, which was a super cool experience. So she was just, she went out of her way to take me to these things, like the Long Beach Blues Festival, stuff like that. And like slowly and surely, I really started to love this art form just as much as the music of like the rock of the 2000s, like the Foo Fighters, Queens of the Stone Age, the Mars Volta, like all this is just like swimming in my mind. And then my senior year of high school, I started getting into a bit of classical music, and that in the classical history and idiom really started. I really started to love that as I started to get into college and as a music major.
So, what is it that you look forward to the most with being a professional musician? What every day you wake up, what do you look forward to? What's the thrilling part of this?
I've reached a point, especially because of my world travels, where I just want I want to give music. Man, like I need to give music. It's not even really about me anymore. I'm a very spiritual person. I've been digging into different spiritual traditions, like especially the Eastern traditions. There's this Australian guy, Jason Gregory, who's an expert in several of these traditions. And I remember it was striking to me hearing him say, like, I don't know if I have a purpose per se. It's more like I'm just kind of like a vessel for these things that are beyond my comprehension. Like I'm a vessel for these ideas and concepts, and I just kind of flow. I let my mind and my consciousness connect to that stuff that's beyond me, and I let it flow into my work and in my books and my practice. And I was just like, yeah, okay. I'm starting to kind of see myself like that. Like I'm a vessel for these unbelievable experiences that have happened to me. And I traveled the world for 4 years, and like, man, I've got more music and more stories to write for sure, but I'm a vessel for those experiences. Like travel and music are two of the most mind expanding, connecting things, in my opinion, for humanity. And I just want to give that. I want to be that channel for the world that gave me so much.
You know, and I think the one thing about giving it back is I think we're kind of on a precipice here of getting back into this, you know, the world is hopefully we knew it somewhat before.
Yes.
And my question is, what do you hope we all collectively, you as a musician and us as the audience, realizes about the power of live music as we get back to it?
That sense of not just community, but like connections that live music can bring, like not just between the band members and their collective consciousness, but like the collective consciousness of the audience relating to that music. And then the more powerful the music and its message, the more powerful that connection between the audience and the musicians, right? And community can be born from that collective consciousness experience. Those bonds can be made through that collective consciousness experience. And that's what I really hope to see moving forward, because I mean, we've all been so isolated and not connecting with people for so long, and it's in our human nature to connect to people, right? To understand, to love. That's my biggest hope, is that live music is going to be coming back on those terms, bigger and better than ever.
And as someone that's dedicating their life to the jazz craft, how do you view the history of jazz and your place in it, and just the importance of keeping this tradition alive? It's really one of the more original American art forms that we have.
Oh yeah, absolutely, for sure. And I was about to say, with your podcast Neon Jazz, it's just you present such eclectic, so many different eclectic artists, and it's just amazing to see all those facets of the history of jazz and those bands, past and present, you know, that are featured. It's just so cool. And I'm a very big fan of Ed Sarath, who teaches at the University of Michigan. He actually has implemented a jazz and contemplative studies degree that basically marries the creative practice of jazz with mindfulness practices and meditation and stuff like that. His whole thing is that jazz is one of the most profoundly creative vehicles for creativity in art because of the nature of improvisation, right? That has driven so many different branches of styles within jazz. For example, like the fusion of the 70s was a branch off to integrate rock with jazz. And there's so many different, all of the styles today that can be traced back to jazz are just like a natural evolution from that history we know and love, right? I think that has the power to bring the world together. Jazz is everywhere now. It's in Indonesia. It's in China. It's in, you know, the Japanese have been playing jazz forever. I've seen jazz clubs around the world too, and I really would love to see a world where the creativity, the beautiful creativity and conductive power of jazz is realized. And for me, I think, you know, coming up in such a musical place and diverse place as the Southern California area has just made all the notions I just spoke of even more powerful. Because I know what it means. I know what it means to be in a community of diversity. I know what it means to be. I know how powerful music can be in bringing people of all cultures and histories together. I'm an extremely firm believer of the power of jazz to connect on those levels of both creativity and humanity. You know.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. So, you know, everyone has this perception of who they think you are, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life, you have a perception of you. Who do you think you are?
Man, what a question. I mean, Joe, I got to say, like, I think for the rest of my life, I'm never going to completely believe that I traveled the world as a cruise ship musician and got paid to do it, right? And there was one point where I thought, like, I'm just going to do this forever. This is too good. I'm living in absolute, you know, in an absolute paradise. It was those very experiences that made me do more, you know, that motivated me to want to do more with my life, to take all these music that I've written and all these things I've been practicing and give to the world, right? Give to the world what it gave me. I'm at a point where I've not only lived a lifetime through music meeting life, you know, my life, but I still have more to do. You know, it's a never-ending pursuit. So who do I think I am? I think I'm a person who just wants to give in any way, shape, or form through music and art and to help people realize the potential within themselves to both connect to the world and to themselves creatively, you know. And I'm happy to do that with any kind of, like, through teaching music, through performing music, through writing music, all of that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I like that answer. Jordan, this has been great, man. Thank you for opening up. Thank you for the music. Good luck with everything as the world opens up. And
thank you, Joe.
It's sunshine for me out there, man. Like,
thank you, man.
Cool,
really
man.
Appreciate it. All the best of luck
thank
to you. It's awesome to get to know you a little bit today and yeah. Doing absolutely wonderful work. It's such a cool podcast, man.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Los Angeles, Kansas City, and spots all over the globe, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Jordan for his time, energy, and cool. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.